Hello, and thanks for joining us on the Christian Celebration Center podcast. Our prayer is that this audio will encourage you in Christ and challenge you from God's Word. Enjoy the message.
Good morning, second service at CCC. I'm assuming none of you are morning people, as I am not either. So, I always feel better like getting first service like preached to, or you know, the word brought, and then you hit second service, because I have this like weird fear that, you know, while I'm communicating, I'm just gonna be like, I'm like yawn because I'm not a morning person, which has never happened, praise the Lord, and I don't know why I just told you that. But anyways, so thank you, Pastor Keith, for just your kind words, and Mandy and I are just honored and humbled to be able to work and serve at such a great church, and it really is our desire to partner with you as parents, and so thank you for giving us the opportunity to do so. So, how many here, being honest this morning, would say that you have misheard something before in your life? You've misheard something. All right, see, and I like second service because you're more honest than first service. Just saying. All right, so iPhone users, Siri does this all the time, at least to me. I don't know what it is, but you'll be talking with somebody and, you know, you say something like, I love history, it's the best, and your phone's like, boom, boom. Because Siri thinks you said, hey, Siri, and you did not, because she does that. The other thing that Siri likes to do to me is the talk-to-text feature, which is fantastic, by the way, when it works, likes to put things in and meanings that really aren't there, that don't make any sense. And so if you ever use talk-to-text, make sure to read it before you send it, because sometimes Siri will mishear you and say things that you did not intend. And so I have a tendency to mishear people quite a lot, and part of that is because before I was a pastor, I was an auto mechanic, or technician, for you who are in the field, sorry, I won't offend. Auto mechanic, then did heavy industrial repair for a couple years, and the nature of that work is it's very loud. You're running air tools and, you know, noisy places, and because of that, I have this amazing ringing in my ears that the doctors say will last the rest of my life. And so sometimes I mishear people when they speak. And this happened actually a few days ago to Mandy and I. We were on our way home and she got all kinds of excited. She loves worship music. And she's like, hey, somebody sent me this new worship song. Like, you gotta hear this thing. It is awesome. Like, the words are powerful. The meaning behind it is amazing. And I'm like, all right, yeah, let's, do you got it? And she's like, yeah, I'll put it on. Throws on Spotify. And, you know, it starts off, the music's swelling in, and I'm like, this sounds pretty awesome. And then the person begins to sing, and it's this, like, beautiful voice, and the lady's very, you know, melodic, and she's like, this is how I find my bottles. And I'm like, this is a really strange song. And I'm kind of like, maybe I'm mishearing something, so I'm listening a little bit more, like, and they say it again, this is how I find my bottles. And I'm like, this has to be, like, some kind of very spiritual metaphor, like, you know, the woman who anointed Jesus, you know, the sinful, you know, this expensive jar of perfume. And I'm like, maybe it's that, or maybe it's like going Old Testament, OT here, right? And it's like, you know, on the prophet Elijah and the widow who her husband had owed debts, and, you know, they had, you know, the kids, and then the jars come and they just keep pouring and pouring to pay off the debts. And I'm like, maybe it's that. My mind's doing all this, right? And, you know, while my mind's thinking on this a third time, this is how I find my bottles. And I'm like, this is the weirdest song I think I've ever heard in my life. And then the fourth time they say it, the lady, I don't know if she was just speaking more clear or if the heavens opened up or what happened, but she said, this is how I find or fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. I'm like, this song makes a lot more sense now. That's a much better metaphor than what my mind was going to. We all mishear things. We all mishear things. I think it's just part of life. If there's going to be communication, there's going to be times where we have the opportunity to mishear others, whether it's distractions, white noise, or simply we just mishear. It comes out, it sounds different than what we expected it to be. You know, and in that, sometimes mishearing, it can just be hard to comprehend what people are saying. Maybe they said it right, but we didn't hear it right because of an accent or, you know, we get this a lot in Michigan. We have the Michigan accent. You go down south and they're like, what'd you say? My parents live in Kentucky, so when we go down to visit, they think we talk funny. And I don't know. It's just, I guess, a matter of perception with that. But the same can be true with God. The same can be true with God. Is there's often times he speaks and we hear his voice, but we don't always understand what we're hearing, or we don't hear it the right way because we're still learning what his voice sounds like. And there's some that would say, well, God doesn't speak. He remains silent. And I've come to realize in my life, God does speak. God does speak to us. The reality is we may not be listening to him or understanding how he's speaking to us. But we serve a God who is very much alive, who does not change. The scripture is filled with encounters of God speaking to humanity. God speaking to humanity. Just one phrase alone, the phrase, the word of the Lord came to, meaning God was speaking to somebody, is used 128 times in scripture. Now that doesn't count the other times where it's like, God spoke, God said, you know, he said, because there's already dialogue going on. Big thing is that God still speaks. He doesn't change. Scripture is filled with accounts of that. And today I just want to highlight one of those in our remaining moments. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and stand for the reading of God's Word and turn to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, in the first six verses, I love this account of God speaking to humanity, to Moses, and this is the first interaction that they had had at a speaking level of Moses and God, at least. So Exodus 3 says this, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There an angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why does this bush not burn up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. Moses said, Here I am. Don't come any closer. God said, Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. You can be seated. I love this account in Scripture of God speaking to Moses. There's so much amazing things in it, but I think what I love is the bottom line of it is God spoke, Moses heard, Moses replied, God spoke again. It was the beginning of some dialogue between them, a conversation that began a journey in Moses' life that forever changed. Really, when you think of it, the course of history is the greatest mission that Moses would ever face. I want you to know God still speaks. God still speaks. And today I just want to, as we process this verse, a few common ways that God still speaks to us. And now God is a limitless God. He's not limited to just a few methods of communication. It's not his only way. He's limitless. And so what I've found, though, is these are just some of the common ways, the most common ones that he chooses to communicate with us. First one of those being God speaking to us through his word. God speaking through his word. Now the word or the Bible, it's not just an old book. You know, it is the truth of God. It's the roadmap for our lives. And like any good map, you need to actually use it for it to be of benefit to you. You need to open it up. You need to get inside of it. Now Hebrews 4, chapter 12, or verse 12 says this, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, it judges thoughts and attitudes of the heart." 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 tells us all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, and correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And I share those with you because as a young follower of Jesus many years ago, I began to see these verses come alive in my life the more I got into God's word. I began to see that his word was alive and active and applied to my life. It brought conviction to me of things I needed work on. But the other end that I saw is that it was training and preparing me for the things that God had for my life, even when I didn't realize that it was. I remember my mind just being like blown when I'm like, how can a book written over a period of a couple thousands of years ago apply to my life today? Well, it's because the word is alive and active, and God's word does not return void. So the more you get into it, the more you understand and see that, and you learn about God's character, you learn to hear his voice. God still speaks, and many times he uses his word to speak to us. The more that we're in it, we begin to realize what his voice sounds like, and the word is God's revelation of his voice to humanity. Now, Moses had heard God's voice revealed through a burning bush. We hear his voice revealed through his Holy Scripture. It's the same revelation. See, in Moses' time, they didn't have a Bible that they could go to. I'd be crying too if I didn't have one. I'd be like, man, so Bible. Moses didn't have that option. So God revealed to him through a burning bush. We have the revelation here in our hands today. And the more time you spend reading and hearing what God has said, the more you would recognize his voice. But you need to be in the Word, learning it and studying it. And this isn't something that, for you who are here, maybe you grew up in more of a traditional type of a setting. It's not a religious routine or a box to tick. It's about developing relationship. You know, like Mandy and I have been married just over 10 years and together just almost 18. And the cool thing with that is we're not like, oh man, we have to spend time together. Like, it's the worst, I guess I'll do it. Like, we love spending time together. We plan out time that we can spend together. Why? Because we want to continue growing and developing our marriage and our relationship. We need to have that time to hear each other speak and have conversation to develop it deeper. It's the same way as followers of Jesus. We need to be spending daily time with him, and it's not a box to tick. It's not just like, let me get this over with. It's something that we want to do and desire to do the more we get to know God. So bottom line, we need to get into the Word. If you are not, it's like receiving a detailed roadmap for your life that has the most epic journey ever planned out with all the stops, with everything you would ever need in there for like maximum amazingness, and then you just throw it out the window. You're like, you know what, I think I'll just wing it, and it's all going to turn out okay. And then you get mad a third of the way into the journey when things aren't going the way you thought they would. Well, you're the one that isn't using the map that you were given. So you get into it. You know, many Christians today, they fail to hear God's voice, not because he's silent, but because they're not getting into his word. God still speaks. And one of the main methods is through his word. We wonder why he's silent. He's not. He's speaking. We're just not listening. I've heard it said, if you honor God with your time, he will honor God with his presence. And I love that because it's so true. If we make daily time to get into his word and open his holy scripture, we begin to grow in that relationship. You know, Moses responded to the word that God was speaking to him and engaged with it and opened up dialogue. My question is, are you doing that in your life? What is God saying to you? I encourage you to get into the word consistently because it's going to help you hear him speak. Another common way that God speaks to us is through worship. Now, it's not uncommon for us to feel a nudging during a worship setting, whether it's during a message or it's during worship and song, or maybe it's a word that comes. And there's a reason for that. It's because worship helps us focus back on what's truly important. Worship, at its core, will focus us back on the kingship of Jesus because worship is adding worth to something. It's expressing the value of who Jesus is. It's declaring him as king. And when we begin to do that, when we bring our focus back where it belongs, everything else fades out. When you think about achievements we've had, maybe it's a job promotion or, I don't know, career change or educational things that we've achieved, sports trophies, whatever, it doesn't matter. All of that is going to fade into eternity, and the things that remain are the things that we have done for the kingdom of God. You know, worship brings that back into perspective. It refocuses us on the kingship of Jesus. It clears the distortion around us. You know, when you think about what was happening with Moses at the burning bush, he wasn't concerned about his sheep. He wasn't concerned about what his father-in-law was doing or anything else going on around him. You see in that account, it was just him and God. And in that moment, there was proximity. They were close to each other. You know, you want to hear someone clear, what do? You get close. You get close physically and relationally. We see this also in the account of the burning bush. Verse 4 tells us that when Moses had heard this, he came close to look, and then God spoke again. And then we see that Moses, you know, replies, and this whole dialogue begins. And what I love is the revelation that God gave him was this heart of worship. He says, remove your sandals, for where you're standing is holy ground. Well, it's not the ground that was necessarily holy. It was the presence of God making that happen. God was revealing who he is to Moses, and Moses responded in a form of worship. One, he listened and obeyed, and it says that he hid his face from him. He's basically declaring, you are amazing. You are God. I don't even want to, like, I'm not even worthy. That was his thing. It was worship. It's worship. You know, as we come into proximity to God, as our hearts become refocused, it becomes a little bit easier to hear the things that he wants to say to us. Think of times in your life where there's been some white noise going on around you. There's maybe loud music and people talking, or you're in a loud restaurant, whatever. It can be hard to hear unless you lock in on the person and you're in close proximity to them to be able to hear what they're saying. And I will tell you, the more time you spend around someone, the easier it is to distinguish what they're saying in moments like that. Worship is like that for us. It refocuses us on what's important, and it brings us closer in our relationship to God. You know, Moses was able to hear from God because he knew who it was that was speaking to him. In that interaction, God revealed, I am the God of your fathers. I am the one true God. And it was that realization that Moses had of whose presence he was in, who it was that was speaking, that allowed him to properly worship. When we understand that God is God, that he is king, it changes how we worship, because he's the king. He's the one who sits on the throne. And it changes how we worship. It's not about our song choice or our preferences or anything like that. It becomes about who God is and speaking value to him. Worship at its core is a lifestyle. It's about expressing gratitude and worth to God in anything that we do. It's not just a service on a Sunday or on a Wednesday. We can get into worship no matter where we are. We can add worth. We can speak that value back to God. And so I encourage you, take those opportunities to get into his presence and express that value. Speak to him who he is to you. What is God saying to you? What is he speaking? Well, I think you can help hear a little more clearly when you refocus on Jesus and you get a little deeper into his presence. Simply worship. Another common way that I see God speaks to us is through opened and closed doors. Revelation 3:7 says, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I don't know how many of you are like me, but there's times where I hear God speak something in my life, and it's something exciting, it's a vision for the future, it's a next step, it's whatever, and I'm like, let's go right now. I'm like packing everything up, and God's like, well, hold on a minute. And then I'm the guy that like tries to kick doors in, right? The door's not open yet, I'm like trying to beat the thing down. I'm like, come on, God, let's go. You guys there? Am I the only one? A couple of you? A few? I know some of you are like that, because I know some of you. So I'm that guy. I try to force doors down. And now it's not saying that God didn't speak. It's not saying it's not of God. It's just not his timing yet. Now, Mark Batterson illustrates this in his books, and he talks about how he was called to plant a church. And he got all kinds of excited about it, and he launched this church plant somewhere in the area of Chicago, and the church plant did not succeed. It went under. And he's sitting there going, God, did I hear from you? What did I miss? And it wasn't that he didn't hear God speak, plant a church. He was just wrong in his timing. He got a little bit ahead of God. But God still used that and used it as an opportunity for him to plant the church that he pastors in the D.C. area today. Still a church plant, it was just God's way and his timing. Sometimes God will open doors that we didn't think of, and it can be one way that he speaks to us, and I would encourage you to confirm that through prayer. Before you, like, you're like me, you're trying to kick a door down, or you see one open, you're like, boom, right in. Confirm it through prayer. I had a mentor in my life one time tell me it's okay to be a little bit late to the things of God, but you never want to be early. I'm like, man, so much truth in that. I have to try to remind myself of that frequently. You know, and sometimes there's doors we're trying to take that God closes. We may not understand why, but there may be another door he's getting ready to open that we don't know of yet. You know, and this happened in my life. As I was going to school, I never once considered ministry as an option. I'm not the guy that was called into ministry at a youth camp or convention or in a youth group. It just simply wasn't me. I was actually pushing a broom in a shop. You know, I had all these plans for my life of where I thought it would be at a certain point. And it was interesting because at this point in my life, in my early 20s, everything was going according to my plan and I was completely miserable. I had everything I wanted and completely miserable because it wasn't the plan God had. And I remember praying to him, not understanding it. And I'll never forget it. He said, he's like, I want you to go back to school for full-time ministry. And I wrestled with that for months. I'm like, God, I don't want to do that. I'm not called to that. I'm very shy. If you talk to me sometime, I'm a very shy person. And so to me, I'm thinking, I've got to be all this charismatic, whatever. And like, God's like, no, I want to use you. I'm calling you to ministry. And I tried to strike a deal with God. I'm like, well, I'll go back to school for this, but if you want me in full-time ministry, you need to remove me from my job. And I'm praying this selfishly, thinking that it's going to be all right, you know, because the job I worked in doing industrial repair was full retirement, 30 and out, and it was unfireable, and the company was advancing and growing, and you know, all this cool stuff was happening. And so I'm like, this is a totally safe prayer. I found my out, right? Well, here I am. So what happened? 3 weeks later, God took me up on it, and I lost my job overnight in a company buyout. Totally just out of left field, but I'll tell you what, it got my attention. God closed that door, and I'm like, all right, Jesus, I'll do whatever you want, however you want, whenever you want. And honestly, that's a dangerous prayer to pray, but if you begin to pray like that, hold on, man, because your life's going to become real interesting in a good way. I wouldn't trade it for anything. I share that with you because God speaks through closed doors, but he also speaks through open doors. Because as I lost that job, and Mandy and I are like, what are we going to do for money? You know, it's kind of important, right? It took us to a different level of trust. And he hadn't opened the other door yet. We were in a season of preparation. You know, there was a calling on Moses' life as well, and it was evident from the time he was young, right? The place he was positioned in, being an Israelite in Egypt, but put in a place of prominence. And we see that Moses tried to force the door open on his calling. And when he saw the injustice of his people and he acted on it, the result was his own power, his own way, ended up in murder and exile. But after 40 years of preparation, God decided, you're ready, I'm going to open this door. And when it was done God's will, God's way, God's time, we see a whole different result. And that was a people group freed from bondage and led into freedom. So I encourage you, be open to his timing, because the door may not be open yet, but just trust him. Or maybe there's a door closing and you don't understand why. Just trust him. Just trust. What is God saying to you through open or closed doors? Well, I encourage you to begin to pray and to discern what's of him. Another common way that God speaks to us is through his Holy Spirit. Through his Holy Spirit. You know, this could be a timely message of encouragement from a friend exactly when you need it. You're feeling defeated, you're feeling beat up, and then they're like, I just felt led to text you. I felt led to call you. Or, you know, in a time of need, maybe something shows up at your house or somebody gives you some money or, you know, whatever it is, God supplies exactly what you need at exactly the right time. Maybe it's a word in a service that just comes, you know, it's that word of knowledge, and it's you're going, what just happened? Like, that feels like it was speaking directly to me. Well, the thing is, God sees you. He has not forgotten you. It's not by coincidence. It's by design. God wants you to know what he's saying to you. Maybe it's a dream or a vision. You know, God speaks frequently in these avenues. We see through missionaries, people groups who maybe are unreached, and somebody has a dream that they just need to get up, and it's such a strong sensation that they got to get up and go and find someone. And then when they get there, just like in the dream, the person was there, and a person tells them about Jesus. They surrender their lives, and then they take the word of God back to their village, back to their area. God speaks through dreams. Maybe it's that sermon that hits home. You know, Pastor Keith's preaching, and all of a sudden you're like, this guy knows everything about me, but he's not saying my name. Like, this whole message is like my life. And you're like, how does he know this? Well, it's not necessarily that Pastor Keith knows that about you. He's not, like, in the bushes outside your house. Like, you know, what it is the Holy Spirit speaking through him to you. God encouraging you through a timely sermon or word. You know, we don't serve a God of coincidences. He is detailed and intentional, and he knows exactly where you are and what you need to hear. Maybe it's a random person with a word of knowledge. I've had this happen in church services, and one of my favorite ones is actually at an airport, and I was at Chick-fil-A, where all great things happen, and I was waiting for my food, and my food was very delayed, and I was very hungry, so I was very agitated, and my plane was very close to departing, and so Mandy was like, I'll go ahead, I'll hold the plane. I don't know, she's kind of small, but maybe she'd hold it back, and so she's there, she's holding the plane, and I'm like waiting for my food, and it's been like 20 minutes. I'm like, it's just like three sandwiches, some grilled nuggets, two waffle fries, and a lemonade, like, that's just mine. I'm like, you know, what's taking so long? You know, and long story short, this guy in the waiting comes up next to me and he keeps looking at me and it was kind of freaking me out a little bit. And then he begins to talk to me and it turns out that he was an evangelist from a state I've never even been to, never met this guy in my life, never heard of him. And he began to speak some truth into my life and speak to a situation that I was walking through and just give me some confirmations. And I'm like, my mind's just blown by this. I'm like, wow, God, you made me wait here so this guy would show up because you wanted to speak to me. Man, so cool. And I didn't miss the plane and I got Chick-fil-A, so it all worked out great. God knows exactly where we are and exactly when we need to hear things. And he uses the medium of his Holy Spirit to speak frequently to us. And sometimes he uses us to speak to others. So be open to what it is he wants to say. And the more we act in obedience, I think the easier it is to discern from God. And there's a documentary that came out a few years ago called Holy Ghost, and the whole idea of it was, let's just ask God what he wants to do, and let's film it and watch miracles happen. And in the beginning of it, there's this clip we want to show, but in the beginning of it, they talk about hearing God's voice this way. Check it out.
Learning the language of Holy Spirit is like learning the language of this world. But now think about how you learn a language. The way you learn a language is you become childlike, you listen, you're not afraid to make mistakes. If you're arrogant and you're proud, you can't learn a language well because you're too afraid to make a mistake. But if you're childlike and you're not afraid to humble yourself and become like a little child, you'll learn a language. It's the same kind of process learning Holy Spirit's language.
I love that. It's taking God at face value. He spoke, I'll do. God, you want me to talk to that person at the store? I'll do that. You want me to pray for this person during the service? Okay. Whatever it is, Lord, I'll do it. I love that, becoming childlike in faith. And the other thing is, the more that we step out in obedience to what God says and we act upon it, it builds our faith. It encourages us because it confirms that it was God speaking. We have to be willing to take the risk of, one, us looking foolish, and two, maybe we missed something a little bit, but we never know if we don't take the risk. We don't take the chance. Maybe it's something as simple as God is asking you to remove something from your life or to start doing something in your life, or maybe it's a word for someone else or just something you need to be taking part of. I would say, what are you waiting for? If God's speaking, do it. Man, when he speaks, great things happen. Remember the creation account? God spoke and like stars were coming out of his mouth. That's pretty awesome stuff. When he created humanity, he formed him out of dust in the ground and it says that he breathed life into him. When God speaks, powerful things happen. So if he speaks to you to do something, why wouldn't the power of God show up? The same Holy Spirit that was in Acts 2 that descended on the upper room and enabled them to go. Acts 16 says that they were the ones that flipped the known world upside down. That same Holy Spirit is the same one speaking. He's the same one asking you to step in obedience. So what is God speaking to you through his Holy Spirit? I would encourage you to act upon it and to not just hear his word, but to do it. The last point I want to touch on as we begin to wind down this morning is that God also speaks to us through prayer. And prayer often is overcomplicated in our lives, but it's as simple as us just talking to God. We don't have to say the right big words or in a certain order or anything like that. We just simply have to talk to him like we would anybody else. Tell him the things that are going on. Talk with him. Have conversation. And as we have conversation, that relationship is deepened. And as we deepen that relationship, we begin to hear his voice more confidently because we're hearing him speak. And some of you, you probably saw this coming in. You're like, why is there a table with two chairs set up here? Well, there's an illustration in a book called The Dare by Josh Mayo. For those of you that have been on missions teams with us, you've read this. And there's just a powerful illustration of spending time with Jesus in this that I want to share with you this morning. It's called A Table for Two. He sits by himself at a table for two. The uniformed waiter appears at his side. "Would you like to go ahead and order, sir?" The waiter has asked again. The man has, after all, been waiting since 7 o'clock, almost half an hour, for his dinner companion to arrive at the restaurant. "No, thank you," the man says with a smile. "I'll wait a little longer for my friend. How about some more coffee?" "Certainly, sir," the waiter awkwardly responds. After all, this is not the first time the man's been stood up as he waits for his, quote, friend to arrive for their time together. Funny, the waiter thinks to himself. This must be one amazing person he keeps wanting to spend time with. The waiter walks away from the table to leave the man all alone with his thoughts. The man sits, his deep brown eyes gazing straight through the flowered centerpiece. He plays with his napkin, allowing the sounds of light chatter, silverware, and mellow music to fill his mind. Dressed in a sports coat and tie, with his dark hair neatly combed, he projects a handsome and welcoming image. You get the sense that he wants his companion to feel important, respected, and loved. Yet he's not so formal, though, that she would feel uncomfortable. Having taken every precaution to make her feel at ease with him, still he sits alone. The waiter returns to fill the man's coffee cup. "Is there anything else that I can get for you?" "No, thank you," the gentleman kindly responds. The waiter remains awkwardly, lingering at the table a little longer. Something tugs at his curiosity, and at last he gets up the courage to speak to the man again. "I don't mean to ask something that's none of my business, but..." The waiter's voice trails off, and the line of conversation could very well jeopardize his chip or his job, so he hesitates to continue. "Go ahead," the man encourages him gently. His voice strong yet kind, he invites the young waiter's question. "Well, why do you bother to keep waiting for her?" the waiter finally asks. You see, he's seen this man at the restaurant several other evenings, always alone, always patient, and always waiting. "Why?" he responds softly. "Because she needs me." Silence stifles the air at the table for close to a minute. The waiter quietly says, "Are you sure?" "Yes, I'm very sure," the man answers softly, glancing down with sadness in his eyes. "Well, sir, no offense or anything, but assuming she really does need you, she sure is not acting like it. She stood you up 3 times just this week. She seems pretty self-centered and ungrateful for your attention." The man winces and looks down. "Yes, I know," he says sadly. Pain flashes across his face, but the waiter continues, "Then why do you still come here and wait?" "Because she promised me that she'd be here, and I just want to spend some time together." "But sir," the waiter continues unbelievingly, "she said that before, and she just keeps standing you up." The waiter pauses to make sure he's not said too much. Then underneath his breath, he says, "I wouldn't put up with that. Why would you?" Now the man looks up at the waiter with a smile. He doesn't need to think about his answer. He speaks it with clarity and with affection in his eyes. "I wait here for her because I love her," he says affirmingly. The young waiter walks away confused, and he wonders how anyone could so unconditionally love a person who stands him up several times a week. The guy must be needy or some kind of off, the waiter internally decides. The more moments pass, from across the room, the waiter glances back at the waiting man again. Quietly, the man is doctoring his coffee, adding sugar and creamer. It's obvious that he's stalling and hoping somehow that his companion will come bursting through the door of the restaurant. The man brings the coffee cup to his mouth and sips, watching those around him. "He doesn't look crazy," the waiter admits to himself. "Maybe this girl has qualities I don't know about, or maybe the man's love is very deep and unselfish, a love that's different from what Hollywood movies portray." Setting down his cup, the man thinks about all the things he wanted to share with his friend if she would have only showed up. But really, he mostly looked forward to just hearing her voice and spending time together. He wanted to hear about her day, her triumphs, her defeats, anything that mattered to her. Just being together was the big deal. Yes, she stood him up before, but somehow he still can't get used to it. Each time it still deeply hurts. He looked forward to their appointment together all day long. He tried so many times to show her how much he deeply loves and cares for her, but over and over again his gestures of love go unnoticed and unanswered. His heart yearns for only one simple thing. He just wants to know that she cares for him too. He hopes that she'll come bursting through the door, apologizing for being late. More moments pass. The clock now says 9:30, when the waiter returns to the table, still with one empty chair. "Anything else that I can get for you, sir?" he asks again. "No, I think I'll call it a night," the man says sadly. "May I have my check?" "Yes, sir," the waiter says. He places the check on the empty side of the table. The waiter walks away. Slowly, the man picks up the check and stares at it. He pulls out his wallet. He had enough money to have given her a feast, but one more time, she doesn't bother to show. So he takes out only enough to pay for his 5 cups of coffee and the tip. "Why do you keep doing this to me?" his mind inwardly cries as he gets up to leave the table. "All I wanted was to spend some time together. How can you be too busy to even give me a few minutes?" The waiter motions goodbye as the man walks to the door. "Good night, friend. Thanks for the service," he says to the waiter as he walks towards the exit. "You're welcome, sir," the waiter replies. "She must be one amazing lady." His words cause hurt to flash across the man's face again, hurt that his outward smile finds impossible to hide. Stopping at the door to leave the restaurant, the man turns around and walks back in to the hostess. "May I help you?" she says. "Yes, if you don't mind. May I make another reservation for tomorrow evening?" "Sure," the hostess softly responds. As the man slowly walks out the restaurant door, he calls back one final instruction. "Just be sure to make that reservation a table for two." What I love about that is it just shows so much of Jesus' heart for us. His desire for us to spend time with him, for us to meet with him in prayer. We don't need to overcomplicate that. We don't have to say the right words and the right combos. We just simply need to spend time with him, talk with him, listen, develop relationship, hear what he has to say. But he has a table of two prepared for us. Are you willing to keep that reservation? He's waiting for you. If everybody bow their heads, just want to ask the question here this morning. Maybe as we were reading that story from the dare, or throughout the message, you're feeling this pull in your heart, and you're wondering, "God, I used to have a relationship with you, but I'm not where I need to be." You want to get back to where you were. You want to make things right. You've been away. Or maybe you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus before, but you're realizing that he's a God of love, that he's a God of relationship. And that as you hear of this table for two, of this desire that he has to meet with you and to talk with you, something stirring in your heart, I want to encourage you, that's also the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Now I'd ask, what are you waiting for? Hearing God speak begins with relationship with him. So if that's you this morning, you're here and you're saying, "Man, I want to give my life to Jesus," whether for the first time or coming back, I'm just going to invite you all around this room just to slip up your hand. Is there anybody here? Thank you. Is there anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. You guys can look up here. For those of you that raised your hands, once we dismiss service, if you go through these doors, we have a free gift that we would love to get into your hands at the Next Steps table. And we'd love to talk with you about that decision that you just made. But know, God sees that desire in your heart. He sees that hand, and we just want to encourage you forward in your next steps towards Jesus. And for the rest of us, whether you've followed Jesus for 5 minutes of your life or for 50 years, it doesn't make a difference in the regard that he's got a table waiting for you. He wants to meet with you. He wants to speak with you. So I encourage you, take that table. Begin to talk with him. Invite his Holy Spirit in. Tell him what's going on. Ask him to open and close doors to give you discernment. Speak truth to him of who he is, declaring from your mouth who he is to you. If you build in daily time with Jesus, not only will you hear his voice more clear, but it's a decision in your life that you'll never regret. Because honestly, we make time for what's important. We can say we don't have time, but bottom line, we make time for what's important to us. So I encourage you, make time each day to spend time with the King and Savior. So in our closing moments, the worship team is going to lead us in a song, but I encourage you to stand and move out from where you are, to come forward. And whether you're trying to discern doors, or maybe there's an issue in your life you're going through, maybe things are good and you just want to hear God's voice more, I want you to know His presence is here this morning and He's waiting to meet with you. Will you begin the conversation? So let's stand, let's come forward, and let's respond to Jesus.
Let us experience the glory of your goodness. is truly God's desire to speak to us. And what an opportunity that we have, not just this today, but throughout the rest of this day and the next day and the next day, that as we lean into the Lord and what he's trying to say, we can hear him. And Jesus often said when he was teaching and speaking, "He who has ears to hear, let them hear." And God wants to speak. We don't have to beg him for it. As we heard in this powerful message this morning, he wants to speak to us through his word and through worship, through the Holy Spirit, through prayer, through open and closed doors. He wants to speak into our lives right where we're at. And I just so encouraged by your desire to lean in, to seek him, and as we go through this week, to take advantage of that. God wants to speak. I mean, we experienced that even earlier in our service as we were worshiping the Lord. There was a message in an unknown tongue. And if you're a guest with us, you'd be like, "Oh, that, I don't understand that language." And then there was some words that were spoken after that. You know, well, that makes sense. That was in English. That was encouraging. And we see this in 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14 in the New Testament, where God wants to speak. And so we see these spiritual gifts that God wants to speak, at times giving a message of knowledge, a word of wisdom, as Pastor Carl referred to today, and also a message in an unknown tongue, then an interpretation of that tongue, and then prophetic words. God wants to speak. God wants to speak. And the scriptures say it's for our encouraging and for our comfort. And as we go through this week, all of us are going to need encouraging. All of us are going to need comfort, and we need direction. I challenge you, as you go through this week, would you listen to what God wants to speak to you through his word, through worship, through open and closed doors, through the Holy Spirit, and through prayer. Through prayer. If you want to stay and pray, you can feel free to do so. And as you go this week, know that God wants to actually speak into your life. So let's listen. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening. You know, we believe God has something amazing in store for you today. And now is the perfect time to take a few moments and pray about what you just heard. If this message spoke to you, we would love to hear about it. Send us an email to office@cccmidland.com or connect with us on your favorite social media @cccmidland.